A sermon for Mother's Day 2022 on Genesis 21, 8 through 21, Ruth, first chapter 15 through 18, and John chapter 19, 26 through 28. May the love, grace, and peace of the triune God who eternally mothers us and all of creation be with you now and always. If you'll indulge me for a moment, I'm going to lean into my femaleness, my motherhoodness, and use a semi-feminist hermeneutic, which is just a theological word to mean frame, for reading scripture. And then I'm going to move into preaching a bit about the women we encounter in the readings today, and then move into some observations about the mothers of Ukraine and the state of being someone in a female skin walking around in the world right now and asking Christ to be present with her. To start off, I'm going to read a litany of names. I data mined them from the pages of the Old and New Testaments, of women we've come to know, of women I wish we knew more about, of women who go unnamed and yet are present here for us to encounter if we look hard enough. These sisters of ours include Eve and Sarah and Hagar, Keturah and Rebecca, Deborah, Judith, Rachel, Leah, Zilpah, Dinah, Tamar, Potiphar's wife, Shipra and Puah, Pharaoh's daughter, Zipporah and Miriam, Elsheba, a Cushite woman, Rahab, Jael, wife of Manoah, Delilah, the concubine of a Levite, Naomi, Ruth, and Orpha, Hannah and Abigail, Bathsheba, Abshag, Naamah, the widow of Zarephath, and Jezebel, Huldah, Esther, Job's wife, Anna, Edna, Susanna, Elizabeth, Mary, all the Marys, Martha, Salome, Joanna, the Samaritan woman, Jairus' daughter, the mother-in-law of Peter, the woman with a hemorrhage, the Syrophoenician woman, the woman with the yeast, the woman with the lost coin, Herodias, Pilate's wife, Sapphira, Tabitha, Dorcas, and Lydia, Priscilla and Bernice, Phoebe and Chloe, Eudaida, Claudia, Apphia, and the Roman women. And add to this litany all the unnamed women who we know only by their relationship to a man or their community or their occupation or simply as woman. For we know they surely had names, had lives, had impacts, and are our sisters in faith and life still to this day. We're going to take them back today from the grips of a patriarchal interpretation of their discounted stories. Take them back as friends, as sisters, as daughters, as lovers, and as mothers. Lord, in your love, hear our prayer. Now, you might have noticed that the readings for today do not follow what the Revised Common Lectionary says we should be reading today. And I'm taking a point of clerical privilege, being that it's Mother's Day, and I'm a mother who wears a clergy collar. I chose instead for us to read again about Hagar out of Genesis, and Ruth and Naomi out of the writing section of the Hebrew Bible, and about Mary at the foot of the cross out of the Gospel of John. Because, see, in the womanhood of Hagar, we see a model of the diversity of motherhood. Hers by surrogacy, forced as it might have been, motherhood all the same. Just as I'm a mother through alternative means. Remember, my family grew through the journey of adoption. Yet on the day I learned I would be May's mother, everything changed inside my heart. Just as I have heard it does when you come to motherhood, no matter the circumstances, be they birth, adoption, or simply presence in someone's life. We encounter Hagar having to stand up into her motherhood with difficulty, as a fugitive, fleeing from oppression and choosing love, even though that meant complicated choices and dangerous circumstances. This is love in action. It's love as the verb, not the noun. This is the same sort of love we receive from God as well. Action, not thing. And we see again in the relationship between Ruth and Naomi, we see modeled for us a love between women, an encompassing, tender, yet sturdy feminine love, one of stamina and strength and delicate movements. Again, not through the bloodlines passed down, but through shared lives and profound connection. This type of mothering love is full of courage in the face of loss, primed for new beginnings, dripping the sweet sweat of making your own way, persevering through until the end, a sisterhood, a womanhood to be proud of. This perseverance until the end reminds us of another mother, Mary, standing at the foot of the cross, the Theotokos herself, the God-bearer. And she is holding space and is present even in the transitions of motherhood such as this. This is resonant love. In the moment of standing vigil, even as her own baby boy was giving her away to the care of another, in her wildest dreams, Mary, did you know? Such a silly question when I think it through in my own mothering heart. Mary, did you know? Of course she did. She knew from the moment she felt him wiggle in her belly, the moment he cried hurt and she clutched him to her breast, the first sharp-edged sign of teenage angst when he was found to be lost back at the temple, at the table with his friends for that last time, and definitely, definitely at the foot of the cross as he gave up his last breath. Of course, she knew. Mothers always know. Thank God for that. And what about the mothers of Ukraine? What do they know? They too are being cast out like fugitives. They are refugees fleeing, clamoring desperately to keep their families together, standing at the foot of a new cross, the cross which appears before us as a military war machine sent to trample and crush and destroy. Standing in the breach between humanity's great potential for love and its equal potential for hate. We often speak and highlight the bravery of those who stand in the breach to fight, to raise arms against or enact violence. But what about those who are holding things together, or at least attempting to? Where are the hymns of praise for them? Because in this world that seems controlled not by the protecting love of Hagar, the dedication and steadfast love of Ruth and Naomi, or the timeless and endless love of presence of Mary. No, this world is controlled instead by a will for power, for might, for oppression, for gaining wealth, for the maintenance of the heavy hand of patriarchy. And in all of that, do we have hope? Do we have hope to even catch a glimpse of a different model? And still, after what I have heard this week, what my female skin and heart and brain has had to soak in, I've struggled to tell my own daughter the history of this nation and the movements that still seek to control and regulate and obtain, what I have always told her is solely and uniquely and beautifully hers, her own self, her own body. I have struggled to tell her that the crying mothers on the trains leaving Kyiv are doing so because they've chosen democracy and freedom, and someone else is saying that isn't their right. When I look and think, we are in a similar place. We're not fleeing from bombs and bullets right now, but we're fleeing because we want to keep our freedom and basic human agency intact. And in that moment, our hearts intertwine with theirs, if only for a moment, beautifully like Naomi and Ruth's hearts intertwined so long ago. So can I say something of good news today, after all of that? I'm going to stand right here and proclaim loudly, yes, I can. And he, who is the answer, isn't even a mother. Well, not in the strict physical sense. Jesus Christ, he is the revolutionary model of different love leading us down a different path. It is the one that turns the world upside down. And Jesus provides a steady, mothering hand on our backs. Jesus proclaims the truth, the light, and the way. And though his message is often corrupted by us, it is through the promise of the empty tomb that the message will not be garbled for long. My theologian of the moment just happens to be John Shelby Sprong. And he shared with the world over and over again during his life what he called his mantra. And it fits perfectly today with my message to you. It's quite simple, but it's simply everything that Jesus teaches us wrapped up into three phrases. Imagine the entire gospel melted down to its very core. Professor Sprong's mantra is this: to live fully. Because God is the source of life, and for us to worship God is to do nothing but to live life in all of its fullness, in everything that fullness means, and everything that fullness means to others that we are living with. Next, to love wastefully. Because God is the source of all love, is worshiped best when we are loving wastefully, handing out love first, second, third, not expecting anything in return, for the pureness of loving for love's self. Not managing love, not qualifying love, not standing in judgment of the way another person loves. No, outrageous, wasteful love, period. And finally, to be everything that you can be. Because if God is the ground of all being, then the courageous adventurer to be everything we are meant to be surely worships God most wondrously. And in this being, everything that is willed for you, we can't help but join in and allow that for others too. Right? Helping and guiding and comforting and encouraging each other in this pursuit along the way. The pursuit of becoming. So to live fully, to love wastefully, and to be all that you can, those are motherly traits. Those are the traits that Jesus was teaching and preaching and acting on. You see, our mothers are the source of our lives, right? Whether we're birthed, adopted, or gathered, they are all the source of life. A mother lives wastefully. Her beloveds are walking around outside of her body, right? It demands that. And a mother wants only for our lives to be fully lived, for our being to be fully realized, for our futures to reflect the love she has had from the moment she became a mother or a mothering type person to us. The mothers and women in the litany I read held their worlds together. The mothers, not the war machines in Ukraine, will hold that country together. The mothers and mothering types in our lives and our worlds will hold us together. In loving embraces, and yes, in fists held high when protest is needed. If you are grieving a mother today, let me pray for you. If you are a grieving mother today, let me pray for you. If you grieve for a mother unknown today, let me pray for you. If you grieve the long wait to be a mother, let me pray for you. If you need a mother today, let me pray for you. If you are a mother today, let me pray for you. And if you celebrate a mother today, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you to live fully and deeply into your life, to love wastefully and to be all that you can be to the deepest places of your being. Because, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we are loved first by the source of all love, God, and we are redeemed by the love of the incarnate Son. And we are forever linked together through the movement of the Holy Spirit, love's very breath. So blessings and love to Hagar and Ruth and Naomi and Mary. Blessings and love to my own mother on this day. Blessings and love to May, who made me a mother one sunny November day. Thanks be to God, and let the church say, Amen.